Slaying the Green-Eyed Monster. That's right, Slaying the Green-Eyed Monster. And this is based on the fact that Jesus warned his disciples to beware of covetousness. This is all about covetousness. Now, over the years, I have taught many times on this subject because it's such a crucial subject. You know, the heart, covetousness deals with the heart, and the heart is always the issue. Won't you say that with me? The heart is always the issue. That's why Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful and above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? And that's why it's so dangerous for people to just follow their heart, right? And we've said that probably 100 times over the years. In the Old Testament, God gave us these 10 commandments, right? And in those 10 commandments, the last commandment, the number 10 of those 10, is what I call the cleanup commandment. It's the one that follows all the 9, and God ends it with that 10, and I'm just kind of reviewing a little bit. He ends it with number 10 because number 10 is the way you deal with all the other 9. So if you get number 10 right, the other 9 will actually fall into place pretty easily, all right? So number 10 is about covetousness. It's about the heart. And so Jesus told us to be very, very careful. In fact, he said in Luke chapter 12, verse 15, and he said to them, take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. And then the Apostle Paul in Romans actually ties covetousness together with all other sin. He said, I would not even, it's actually in Romans 7:7, he said, I would not even have known covetousness unless the law had said you shall not covet. But just before that, he said, I would not have even known sin, right? So in other words, he is tying covetousness to sin, not just some sins, but to sin itself. Amen? And so covetousness is, it deals with the heart. We spent a lot of time talking about that last week, so we're not going to go over everything again, but let's look at one more scripture. Colossians chapter 3, verse 5. Paul says, put to death. And I love that. He's like, you know, Paul is very straightforward. He's not just saying you might want to watch out for or you might want to be careful with this. He said, no, put it to death. Therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, put it to death. That's why Paul said, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives in me. You can't play with sin. You put it to death. I had somebody that was dealing with a particular addiction that they wanted to stop doing. And I told them, I warned them, because they had it sitting there right next to them. Oh, but I'm not going to do it. But that's just there. I got that right there as a reminder of what I'm not going to do anymore. I said, no, what you're going to do is set yourself up for failure. What you need to do is go throw that in the toilet. That's what you need to do. You set that right next to you, and that's not going to be a reminder of what you used to do. It's going to be an attraction for what you're going to do again. And sure enough, that's exactly what happened. Can I tell you, when I stopped eating sugar, I didn't sit around with a box of donuts so I could remind myself of what I'm not going to eat anymore. Because you know what happened to that box of donuts? Yeah, y'all know, because you'd have done the same thing. So he said, put to death. In other words, you can't give it any kind of power whatsoever in your life. Put to death whatever belongs to your earthly nature. And then he tells us things that belong to our earthly nature. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed. All of those things actually fall within covetousness. Every one of them. So, and then he goes on to say that it's idolatry. So if I have covetousness in my heart, I'm allowing idolatry in my heart. Okay, so let's go to the main point. And all of that was actually intro last time and then this. But the number one main point, what is covetousness? What is it? Well, you know, God is prohibiting an attitude of covetousness. Why is that? Well, to understand that, then it's important that we understand exactly what it is. What is coveting? The word covetousness actually comes from two words, more and to have. More and to have. Can I tell you that if we're not careful in America, from the time we're small, we start hearing about the American dream. And if we're not careful, we can allow that to actually be a pathway to covetousness. Because I just got to have a little more than the next guy. I got to have a little more. I got to have a little bigger house, a little faster car, a little you know, nicer clothes, whatever it is, okay? And we can allow covetousness to come into our hearts. Now, there's nothing wrong with having nice things, and I'll talk about that. But it's always about having more. Well, there are certain things that we should always say, I am not satisfied. I want more. But it's the things of God, not the stuff that this earth presents to us. Because we can chase everything, we can chase all the things we want on this earth, and we can build a big treasure that we can't take to heaven with us. But Jesus said to lay up your treasures in heaven, right? So we have to be led by the Holy Spirit in all of this. So it means, covetous means to desire things in an inordinate or ungoverned manner. It's like to be out of control. Here's another word, to kind of become obsessed with things. So in Scripture, you'll find that to covet is very, very closely related to lust. In fact, the two words can actually be interchanged in many cases. The Hebrew word for lust is shamad. There are three primary categories of lust in Scripture. Number one is sensual. Number two is property or things. And number three is prominence through money. So when it comes to lust or covetousness, you're going to see these three things. Well, that's consistent with Scripture, because in 1 John chapter 2, verse 16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, that's the sensual, that has to do with my five senses and my flesh wanting something. What gets my chemicals moving? What gets the right chemicals moving in my body, right? It's those that desire for pleasure, but in a sinful way. The lust of the eyes is the second one. That's the property or things. And the pride of life, prominence through money. And the Bible says that is not of the Father, but is of the world. Yet it is what most of the world chases after. And yet Jesus said it's not of the Father. I'm going to give you a few sub-thoughts here. And by the way, but before I go there, it's the same thing, and I've taught on this before, but it goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden. The devil, you know, in the form of a snake, he comes to Eve, and he uses these three things, these exact three things. He says, look at this fruit. The Bible says it was pleasing to the eye, lust of the what? Eyes. And it looked like it'd be really good to eat, lust of the flesh, eating something that God told her not to. And then the pride of life, he said, if you eat this, it'll make you wise like God. Pride of life. So Satan knows that that works because it worked for him. It's what caused his downfall, right? And then when Jesus shows up on the earth, Satan tries the same thing on Jesus, right? When he tempts him in the wilderness, it was the same thing. It was the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. He was trying to get Jesus to fall into a sensual thing, into making things about property or things or prominence through money. That's what the enemy was trying to say, I'll give to you if you'll bow down and worship me. And so it's the same thing he tries to do for all of us. And so what allows the enemy to do those things is the covetousness in the hearts of people. If you give it room, if you give it an inch, if you give it any space in your heart at all, it will then begin to dominate your heart. All right, so let's look at a few subpoints here. Covetousness has to do with your thought life. It all starts with a thought. How many of you know that the only weapon that the enemy really has that he can use against you are thoughts? If he can get you to agree with the things, because he'll always offer suggestions. He has the power to do that. If he can get you to agree with what he's saying, the thoughts that he gives you, then now you give him access into your life to bring destruction. I'll give you an example. Even when it comes to sickness, if you just agree with it, oh no, there's nothing I can do about this. I'm going to die. Well, guess what's going to happen? You cannot come into agreement with what the enemy says. So it starts with a thought. Covetousness has to do with your thought life. He's going to tempt you with thoughts. Well, you know, you ought to do this because, you know, you really deserve it. You've been mistreated. I've heard people talk to people. Brother Kevin was talking about in prison. I've talked to people in prison who were there because, you know, they killed somebody and stole something that person had. Why? Well, because they had it and I didn't. And I felt like they had a good life and I didn't, and I deserve to have a better life than I have now. So you took theirs and took their stuff. Well, how many of you know that's demonic? That started with a demonic thought. And the enemy used that covetousness in their heart to just take them to a place they should have never have gone. So it starts with a thought. It's having a strong desire in your thoughts toward anything that is forbidden by God. Okay? Now, that doesn't mean you can't enjoy things in life. I'm not saying that. But if this is something that is forbidden by God and you've got this strong desire for it, if you don't deal with it while it's a thought, it's going to consume you. All right? The next one, covetousness is also an excessive, unhealthy desire for something you don't have. You know, again, there's nothing wrong with wanting certain things, or you see something you like and go, wow, I would really like to have something like that. And then you're willing to work toward it, toward having it or whatever. There's nothing wrong with that. But really, you ought to be checking with the Lord and saying, Lord, do you want me to have this? Because this is what I've learned in life. Pastor Mike Melee teaches us all the time. He said, instead of paying for it, why don't you pray for it first? Instead of paying for it, pray for it. And I can tell you, that has worked in my life over and over again. You know, I tell the story when Micah was working on the crawfish farm and doing hunting and all that. He comes home one day and he's got some Costa glasses. If you know anything about Costa sunglasses, they're not cheap, right? He goes, Dad, you ought to get you a pair of these. These are nice. I said, well, how much did you pay for that? He goes, oh, it was $200. I said, I will never pay $200 for a pair of sunglasses. That ain't going to happen. You know, I said, but if the Lord wants me to have one, he'll make sure I get it. And I told him, you don't buy me one. I'm not trying to get him to buy me one. And I'm telling you, this has happened to me so many times. I just simply said, Lord, if you want me to have one, you know, have me a pair, you'll give me a pair. And I'm literally driving down the road coming from the dump, and I see something shiny in the road, and I almost hit it. I had to move over, and then I backed up. And I look down, and there is a pair of Costa sunglasses, perfect shape, laying in the middle of the road, nobody around. Thank you, Lord. I put them on and drove home. And I told Micah, I said, you see my glasses? Oh, Dad, you got some? I said, yeah, you'll never guess where I got them. I was coming from the dump and found them on the road. And he started laughing. Well, that kind of stuff happens all the time, you know. I say, Lord, you know, if you want me to have this, then, you know, you'll make, because I'm not, those things don't become the object of my desire. And so I have found so many things on the road in different places that just things that I needed at the time I needed. And here it is. The other day, and I might have told y'all this, the other day, I found a 24-carat, 24-inch long gold Cuban link chain. I looked them things up. They like $6,000 or $8,000. I just found it on the ground. Nobody around to claim it. Wasn't like I was at a grocery store that I could bring it in and, no, I'm telling you, this stuff happens, right? I didn't even ask for that. I didn't say, Lord, if you want me to have a 24-carat gold, you know, I didn't even say that. He just said, look, there's my boy. He likes finding stuff on the ground. And God is good. You know our testimony of our house and how God made all that come about. I mean, God has just always been good because I'm not focused on trying to get those things. So then God says, well, then I can give you those things. So covetousness is an excessive, unhealthy desire for something that you don't have. Now, I do want to clarify, I am not telling you that you should sit at home like a bum and not work and just say, well, if God wants me to have it. No, I work. I'm just doing a different kind of work. I'm not saying you should sit around doing nothing, but I'm working for him, and he takes care of me, right? So there's nothing wrong with wanting to have certain things, nice things for your family, but covetousness is a desire that compromises convictions to gain something you want. Let me give you another one. Covetousness is also an envious desire for what someone else has, desiring what they have to be yours. Have you ever been around somebody? They get something. Did they show up? They got something nice, or they got, I don't know, it might be an ice cream cone, or it don't matter what it is. And they say, first thing they say, where's mine? You gonna give me that? All the time, people say that kind of stuff. Now, they might just be joking, but it might just be something on the inside of them that causes them to react that way. If I cannot rejoice when I see a brother or a sister blessed in some way, then I have a problem with covetousness. If I can't praise the Lord and rejoice because he has been good to me, even if it looks like he's being better to someone else, if I can't rejoice for what I have, I got a problem with covetousness. So I'm going to be ungrateful. I'm going to be unthankful. And that's going to keep the blessings of the Lord from flowing into my life. That's why this whole idea, this whole entitlement thing is so bad for people. Oh, victim mentality is bad for people. It's just it's a horrible thing. It's a horrible way to live. If you go through life thinking somehow you've been ripped off based on because somebody else has something that you don't have. You know, I've met people who absolutely love their job and they are satisfied with what they got paid. They were just thankful that they had a job and they were getting a paycheck and they were making this amount of money till they found out what the other guy was making. Well, wait a minute, they're making more than me. All of a sudden, they hate their job. That's covetousness at work. It's demonic. It's wicked. It opens up the opportunity for the enemy to come in and reap destruction. All right, so all of those things, it all started with a covetous heart and that wanted something that belonged to somebody else. Now, I'm going to wrap this up pretty quickly. The other nine original commandments deal with actions, but this one deals with attitude. The others deal with behavior, but this one deals with inner motivation. Your motivation matters. If your motivation is not led by the Holy Spirit, that motivation will take you into things you should never go into, and it'll cause destruction in your life and in your family and in your children. You know, don't steal says keep your hands off, right? But don't covet says don't even dwell on stealing that thing, right? So it's the mother of the other nine sins in the commandments. If you have covetousness in your heart, you will break all the other commandments. That's why, again, I call it the cleanup commandment. It gives you all of this list of all the things that you should or shouldn't do. And then the last one deals with the key. You defeat this in your life, following the rest of the commands is not a problem for you. Okay, and again, you're not trying to follow God's commandments to try to somehow earn your salvation, but it is God's moral code. It is the way he wants us as his people to live. It's a life that glorifies him. So let's just look at those, and we're going to end with this. We're going to look at those real quickly, those commands. No other gods. Well, this is the covetous worship of the gods of money and materialism, and you know, and we're looking for those things to be our security. Well, if I'm looking for anything to be my security other than God himself, then I'm leaning to my own understanding, and I've got covetousness in my heart, right? So that's the first commandment. Second commandment, no idols. This is the covetous bowing of myself before things that I want to possess, when in reality what happens is those things will end up possessing me. I've said it. I've heard other preachers say, there's nothing wrong with having stuff. You just can't let that stuff have you. How about God's name in vain, the third one? Well, people covet things all the time, and they call themselves Christian, but they covet things all the time that they never really ask God his opinion about. So if I'm going to put my energy toward and go after and pursue something that I haven't even asked God's opinion on, then there's covetousness in my heart, because I should be more concerned about what he wants than what I want. And if I'm not, there's covetousness there, okay? And I'm taking his name in vain. It doesn't just mean to cuss. I've taken on his name, but I'm taking it on in vain because I really don't care about what he thinks. All right, let me go on a little more. And understand, those things typically would possibly bring destruction to us. And a lot of times we'll even claim those things in Jesus' name. Man, I grew up hearing a lot of people say, I'm believing for this, and I'm believing for that, and I'm believing for this. And it was stuff that, you know, God never told them he was going to give them that. And then they backslide. Well, you know, that don't work. Apparently the word of God is not true because I believe for this and I believe for that. Well, no, there's nothing wrong with the word of God. The problem is in you. You're misusing it. You got covetousness in your heart. Here's another one. How about the Sabbath day? Remember the Sabbath to keep it holy, right? Can I tell you that stores are open on Sunday? Because stores, restaurants, all those, they are open on Sunday because it is one of the biggest shopping days of the week. It's all about money. And I hate to be mean, but one of the biggest reasons they open is because it's the church people that keep them open. So they have no reason to close. They have no reason to shut down and honor the Lord's Day because, you know, people, as soon as they get out of church, they're going to go fill them stores and them restaurants up and give them all the business that they don't want to lose. And we're going to move on to the next one because y'all are so excited about that one. I mean, just look at it. I've always told people, at least ask the Lord what he thinks about it, right? Don't just take my word for it. Let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10a. This is a very familiar scripture. People misquote it all the time. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Actually, the best translation is the root of all evil. And a lot of times people say money is the root of all evil, and that's not true. It's the love of money. But that phrase, as I've taught before, love of money in the original Greek, the phrase itself is philaguria, and it means avarice, which is extreme greed for material things, and covetousness. So really, when he says the love of money is the root of all evil, what he's saying is covetousness is the root of all evil. So how about this one? How about honoring parents? You know, children covet that which causes them to steal from their parents. I've seen that happen. Or to dishonor their parents. Covetousness is in the heart. And let me tell you when it shows up. When the parents die. Y'all know what I'm talking about. And siblings will scratch each other's eye out to get that fork or knife or something or whatever it is. I mean, that's not honoring your parents. All they meant to you was a bunch of stuff. I've told mine, listen, I just want you to know, I don't care. I'm not fighting my siblings over anything, right? Y'all decide and y'all make that decision, but we're not fighting over anything. If my siblings, we want to work things out and do things in a civil manner, I'm all for it, but when it's all said and done, they can have it all as far as I'm concerned because I'm not going to fight over it. I don't put my trust in that stuff. I put it in the Lord. So children covet. That's what causes that. How about this one? How about don't murder, don't kill, or don't murder? You know, a lot of people are killed every day. They're murdered every day by someone who coveted what they had, like the man I described a little bit earlier. So what am I showing you here? I'm showing you that covetousness is what causes us to break all the other commandments. We deal with covetousness, we're cutting off the head of the snake. We're slaying the green-eyed monster. And it keeps us from falling into all the other traps. How about this one? How about adultery? The seventh one. This always begins with covetousness. In fact, in the actual command that he gave, in that commandment about adultery, he specifically is talking about really any kind of sexual sin that's in there, but wanting the spouse of another. And in the command about covetousness, it specifically says don't covet another man's wife, right? So it all ties together, right? So if adultery, wanting the spouse of another or someone who's not your own spouse, how about stealing? Well, that's an obvious one, right? If I'm stealing, I'm obviously covetous of something somebody else has. How about the ninth one? How about lying? How about speaking false against somebody? Usually this is done for personal gain of some kind. Coveting, understand, it's a different reality than you've made for yourself. So if you're lying about somebody, most of the time it's because you're trying to make yourself look better. You're actually coveting some status maybe that they may have. Politicians do it all the time. They'll lie about each other to try to gain their status, to try to gain their votes, right? Whatever it is. So the dictionary definition of covetousness is literally grasping for more, grasping for more. How many of you know casinos make billions of dollars? Why? Because of the covetousness of people's hearts. If covetousness was not in the hearts of people, casinos would not be open. It's that covetousness that drives that. It's the sin of selfishness. It's that sin of never being content. And so we'll talk more about it next week. But listen, again, what I really hope everybody sees today is that all sin is going to be a result of covetousness. All sin. And you know what? I don't care if you've been saved 40, 50, 60 years. If you are sinning in your life, the root of it is covetousness. And you have to ask the Lord to show you. That's why we want to always ask him to show us. Lord, expose me to myself. Expose my heart. I want to see what's in there so I can repent. Covetousness is the root of all evil. Any evil we see happening in the world today is a direct result of covetousness. Every war, every killing, everything that happens is ultimately a result of covetousness. So we've already had people come to the front and as we sang the song, and so we're going to count. That was our altar call. But I do want to just pray over you. So I'm going to ask you to be honest with the Lord, just like I have to be honest with the Lord. And if there's anything in there that he needs to take out of there, then just be honest with him. Don't make excuses for him. So I'm going to just pray for you. Father, I thank you for these people. These are people who love you. These are people who are called according to your purpose. Father, these are people who want to honor you with their lives. And the Lord, I know the enemy would love to get in there and stir in their hearts and cause covetousness to arise. Lord, from the oldest to the youngest, I know that that's how the enemy works. But Father, I pray, help us to truly open our eyes, our spiritual eyes, to see, Lord, the devices of the enemy. You told us to not be ignorant of the enemy's devices. So, Father, you're exposing that today. And, Lord, I'm praying, help us to be, as Jesus said, those who guard our hearts, who guard against covetousness. Lord, he could have told us to guard against all kinds of other things, but he said guard against covetousness. So, Father, I'm praying, reveal it to us, Lord. If it's in operation in our hearts in any way, God, show us. We want to repent. We want to repent quickly. I pray, and Father, for the gift of discerning of spirits to be in strong operation in this body. So, Lord, that we could recognize what spirit those thoughts are coming from. Because we want our life to glorify you. Lord, we don't want to come into agreement with what the enemy says, because we know if we come into agreement with what he says, we empower him to do destruction in our life. But we want to come into agreement with what you have said about us. And so, Lord, I thank you that you said that we could do everything that you did. And Lord Jesus, we know you never coveted while you were on this earth. And if we can do what you did, that means you've given us the power to overcome it. And so, Lord, I thank you for that. I thank you for your spirit working in every person in this house. Lord, I pray as we leave this place today, Lord, that you will cause your light to shine brightly on each one. God, we know this is not just a normal church. Lord, you have incredible, amazing assignments for these people. And Lord, I want you to get maximum glory for their life. And Lord, I know that's their desire too. So show us, help us. When covetousness starts to try to arise, help us to see it quickly and to kill it, to cut its head off. And we thank you for that, Father God. You are faithful, and we want to be faithful like you. Bless your people. Keep them. Cause your face to shine upon them. Be gracious to them. Look upon them with your favor and fill them with your peace. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Why don't you give the Lord a good hand clap of praise. Remember, men's Bible study tomorrow night at 6 here at the church. Service Wednesday at 7. Y'all be blessed. Have a productive, fruitful week for the Lord.